call the CAT meeting to order. Would you please stand and pledge allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on board is to elect the chairperson.
Call the roll.
Any nominations?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. If we can call roll first.
Call roll?
Yes, sir.
That's a
roll call.
Thank you. Carmen Bongiovanni.
Here.
Chris Dolney. Denise Santa Maria.
Here.
Dorothy Sperber.
Here.
Glenn Davis.
Here.
Clint Smith. Jake Scully.
Here.
Pete Linhartz.
Yes.
Sybil Dodson Lucas.
Here.
Sandra Shank.
Here.
And Robert De Maria is excused. And we have a quorum, Mr. Chairman? Or?
Okay. Now.
Typically, we open the floor for nominations for a chair, and if there's more than one nomination, then we go to a vote.
Okay, we open the floor for nominations for a chairman of the board.
My understanding, and let me preface my remarks, my understanding is that Mrs. Shank has been acting in this capacity with the Citizens Advisory Committee?
She's currently the chair of, I'm sorry, I don't mean to answer for you, Ms. Shank.
Go ahead.
But she's currently sits as the chair of the Affordable Housing Advisory Committee for Flagler County.
I'd like to suggest that she continue in the role as chair here.
Any other nominations? I'll call for a vote.
Sure.
Since there is no other one other than
yes,
the one
sir.
We got.
Looks like.
You're hung with it. That means I don't have to stay.
if you would stay, Mr. Davis, that would be
good.
Well,
okay.
We'll stay.
So,
you have the agenda?
Well, I'll nudge you.
The agenda?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't have an agenda.
Thank you. Nor do I. It's dead as a doornail.
Yep.
Oh, I don't have one.
That's right. We do have an agenda.
We have an agenda in the iPad, yes.
Planning board.
Oh, okay. Okay.
We're leftovers.
Okay. So we're going to proceed with the meeting. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. The minutes were forwarded to us via email. Did everyone have a chance to review the minutes?
I did. It was a pretty short meeting, so I moved to approve the minutes from the November meeting.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes have been approved as written and provided via email. The next item on our agenda, public hearings, action item. Nope, I'm sorry. That's right. The approval of the community development block federal fiscal year 2019-2020 annual action plan. And Jose, that's what you're going to present to us.
Yes,
now,
ma'am.
Correct?
Thank you. No, it's fine. Thank you. Yes. Good evening, Madam Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa for the Community Development Department, City of Palm Coast. This next presentation is for our Community Development Block Grant, Federal Fiscal Year 2019, Fiscal Year 2019-2020 Annual Action Plan. And just to give you a brief outline on the presentation here, just briefly go through history and background, some of the required planning procedures for the program, some of the findings, proposed activities for the upcoming fiscal year, and next steps from here. Again, as part of the CDBG program, the city is required to complete a number of different documents. In 2017, we completed the consolidated plan, which is a 5-year plan to outline our goals for providing decent housing, suitable living environment, and expanded economic opportunities. Within that document is a strategic plan providing more detail on how to address those goals. And on an annual basis, we provide to HUD a 1-year annual action plan, which basically describes the actions that we intend to undertake over the coming year. And some of the other documents that are required by the program, the analysis of impacts to fair housing choice, and on an annual basis, our comprehensive annual performance and evaluation report, which is essentially our end of year report on how we expended those CDBG dollars in the past year. Under the CDBG program, again, you must meet one of the national objectives with your activity. It must be an activity that benefits low and moderate income persons or area, or 2, prevents or eliminates slum or blight, or 3, addresses an urgent community development need. Again, typically those development needs are the result of a natural disaster. So within the city of Palm Coast, here are some samples of some activities that CDBG funds could be used for. Housing-related activities, public services limited to 15% of the grant allocation, economic development activities, infrastructure improvement within qualified areas or low-moderate income census tracts, and of course the planning, administration, or monitoring of the program itself. And those dollars would be limited to 20% of the annual allocation. So within the city of Palm Coast, in the past, we've undertaken activities with homeowner repair of owner-occupied homes. We've done youth and senior activities. We provided public service assistance to Flagler County Free Clinic, and we've used some of the dollars for program administration and planning. So in the upcoming year, staff is basically recommending that we continue with these activities under the following breakdown. Our allocation for the upcoming year is from the federal government, $487,895 is the allocation for the upcoming year. If you will notice that there is not an infrastructure project on this activity list, since we're in the process of finally completing the multi-use path in Seminole Woods. So those dollars are now free and are ready to be allocated to one of these other activities. And so what I've, under this proposed allocation, is that the bulk of it goes to the housing program. Again, that owner-occupied rehab program that we undertake every year to the tune of about $409,711. Last year, this board recommended that we use the full amount of the allocation that's eligible for public service, and that's 15% of the allocation. And so this plan, or this proposed allocation, would dedicate $73,184 for public services. $55,000 of that would go to the city's Parks and Recreation Department to continue senior and youth services, and the remainder would be for some type of public service subrecipient assistance, maybe in the form of public service grants, or if directed by city council, a direct assistance to a nonprofit or another governmental agency. And we'll take the and for planning, administration, and monitoring, there would be a minimal, $5,000 would be for planning, administration, and monitoring. And again, those are typically used for our advertisements. And if we help sponsor a fair housing fair along with the Board of Realtors and Mid-Florida Housing. So we set aside that amount to help assist in publicizing and for those activities. The one other change to the annual action plan is that HUD recently updated its calculation for low moderate income, or using the 2010-2015 five-year American Community Survey, and this map reflects where those low moderate income areas are that are qualified for use of CDBG funds. And that's for use of the CDBG funds on an area-wide basis. That is, if it's an infrastructure project, these areas would qualify for use of those dollars. Just moving on to the next steps from here after your discussion. As required by federal rules, this document, our annual action plan, will be made available for 30 days for public comment on our website. There will be a hard copy available here at City Hall and a hard copy available at our community center. And that will be available on Friday, June 15th. So from June 15th to July 15th, that document will be available for comment. Moving from there, at the end of July, we will take the document to a public workshop before City Council, with formal adoption by City Council at the first meeting in August. And that gives us the adequate amount of time to submit the document to HUD by the August 15 deadline. And so that concludes staff presentation. I'll be happy to entertain any questions.
I'll jump in.
Yes, sir.
What I want to talk about. So back in 2017, 2 years ago, we recognized that So we recognized that the public services was pegged at $50,000 for fiscal year 2017, and that was up from the previous. And previously, for background, there was a chunk given to the free clinic, and that's great. And we talked about this, and we said, well, gee, it'd be great if we had a program. One, we could up the limit, and we did, and then we up the limit again to the 15% max, and that's where it's staying, and that's great. But my concern is that the program that we discussed and we agreed to recommend was to have a mini grant program, if you will, administered by the city that opened up to other nonprofits, not that I want to take anything away from the free clinic, to apply for this now slightly larger slice of the pie. So we had our CAPR report in November and found out that while there was $50,000 allocated for public services in that fiscal year, we only managed to spend 20 on the youth program. And so 30, it's not like that money went away, but 30,000 wasn't spent, and the mini grant program didn't get done. And I know with the change of leadership twice in the last little bit here in the city, it's been a challenging environment to get stuff done. But I would strongly recommend that we include a recommendation to get that intended mini grant program done and publicized in this period of time before this is submitted to HUD on August 15th. I will now shut up.
And so you're referring to the public service subrecipient assistance, correct? The $18,184 for that to be advertised as a mini grant program?
Yeah, and I'd like clarification on the fact that the previous fiscal year, the whole $480,000 for fiscal year 2017 was, in fact, spent. However, that activity was not spent to budget. So is that $30,000 still available?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is correct. It is still available and for use, as you're recommending, for a grant, mini-grant program.
Right. And I'm going to assume, since the program is not in place, that we are heading towards a similar situation in the CAPR report for fiscal 2018. There's going to be an unspent chunk of dough of public services, and I just think that the city should prioritize, not just with public services, but also for the housing. How do we grease the skids to get this money out? This is a chunk of money that's, you know, use it or lose it, folks. I mean, you know, I want compliance and us to do things by the rules, but let's get this money out to the housing and let's get the money out to the public services. And I think that should be a priority for the city to be, say, how can we do this in an efficient way so that we can benefit our citizens with this money from the federal government that, you know, we should be using. So that's my feeling on it.
Okay, go ahead.
Pardon me. If there are no such grants currently, is what I'm hearing you say.
That is correct.
There is no language like that, and we have an August 15th deadline?
No, the mini grant. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. It's not this idea of the mini grant is not prescribed by the Community Development Block Grant Program. We discussed it as the advisory task force and said, hey, I think I recall this right, that everybody agreed that's a pretty good idea. We'll get that public services money out there and benefit as many people as we can with this federal money. Right, so it's not a requirement, however.
I understand. But so it has not been advertised.
Well, it doesn't
exist. So it doesn't exist.
That's
his point. I mean, the idea is a fledgling kind of idea. But what has to be done to pull that grant language together and get that information out to the public?
And that falls to staff.
Policy.
To
sure. Sure, for policy.
Right. As far as I know, we don't have a policy.
Policy, right.
In order to accept those, like what the guidelines that they would have to fall under, none of that has been developed or written. I agree with you. Yes, it was discussed, but it was not fully implemented as to that being part of those public service dollars.
That I absolutely agree, and we talked about it in June, and then we talked about it in November, and then we talked about it in June, and now we're talking about it in June. So I think that's ample time to say, hey, let's get something in place. And I've, you know,
well,
we now think it's not a good idea, which we can talk about.
I think it's an excellent idea, personally.
But don't we have to make that part known for the when we send it to the city to be discussed and how that's going to be done? I mean, we can't just discuss it here and it not be included specifically in what we present to the city.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize because I know I probably stated this before. The way that mini grant program would work is that through the action plan, you've identified that you want to set aside funds for a mini grant program. Since we don't have, am I too loud? Sorry.
Feedback that's really
okay.
More
public.
You could pull back.
All right. I'll pull back. So, once you've identified that you want to implement this activity of the public service grant program, exactly what you said, that we need to provide for the mechanism to accept grants, to score grants, and to monitor grants. And that is the part that's missing. That's going to be an item that will be developed by someone who's created a similar program. Typically, we will rely on our grant administrator, our grant consultant, to help us set up those programs, the paperwork and establishing what policies need, what subrecipients need to meet in order to apply for the grant and to receive the grant, probably more importantly. And so once that part of this process is complete, that's at the point where we can put an advertisement out in the paper saying, available to all nonprofits. Thank you. I'm sorry, ma'am. Available to all nonprofits and other interested parties. X amount of dollars available for and we have to be very specific that the activity must meet one of the national objectives of the CDBG program. That is, it has to help low moderate income persons. It must be within a low moderate income area, or it's for some emergency purposes caused usually by a natural disaster.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately more aware of these than I like to be, given I what I do for a living with this kind of data. And I know it's not an easy lift. I'm just seeing unspent federal grant dollars mm-hmm. that could be benefiting people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, hey, Jose, flip a switch, but you know, I'd like to know that there's a process underway to get us to that point where we can have a compliant program mm-hmm. that you know, and gets that federal money spent in our area. That's my only point on
yes,
it, really.
So, Jake, to what Jake is saying, I agree wholeheartedly what he's saying. If he in 2017, there was $30,000 that was unspent. What is the amount for 2018?
I believe there was 20. No, it was. I bet 17,500.
Okay, so we're looking, and then you have 18,000 for this year,
yes.
if approved, that may not be spent again as a possibility, since we have funds that haven't been spent for the past previous two years. So we would be looking at anywhere around $70,000 that could be lost. Now, are you wanting an action, a vote from us in regards to this action plan for this year so that it can move forward to public? Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. The action plan, if you vote to recommend approval of it as is, will move to City Council.
Mm-hmm.
I would, again, take the discussion I've heard here tonight, and that is a strong emphasis that we need to start the grant program. And I will take that recommendation to council also, that this is the preferred method for distributing. I think that's what I'm hearing, that would be the preferred method for distributing.
So just to clarify, that was what we discussed in previous meetings. If there is another vehicle that is more efficient in getting this backlog of funding out to people who can use it, I'm all ears. I'm fine with it. I just hate to see this not getting out. And I don't think we're in a, I don't think we're truly in a use it or lose it situation. But the end effect is the same. The money is not going out mm-hmm. to people who can use
just
it.
Sitting there, not being used.
Correct.
How long
so
would
that's,
it?
So that's it.
Jose, how long would it take for you to get with the consultants to put together a policy and a procedure to administer a grant program that can be included in this annual action plan so that when we vote on this, that policy and procedure is already a part of the action plan so that we can ensure that it is indeed carried out and those funds are spent?
Well, for something like that, I do have a scope from a consultant to complete such work, and I believe that, you know, either 2 to 3 or 3 to 4 months would be time for them to get the paperwork necessary, draft the necessary background documents to establish such a program. But that doesn't have to be part of this action plan.
But it sounds like, from what I'm understanding, based upon what Jake has said, it would almost ensure the accountability, it would increase the accountability that the program will actually be put in place. The policy and procedure will actually be drafted and make the community made aware that they can this particular opportunity will be forthcoming in the very near future.
Well, I think that statement is made within the action plan itself. If you're saying it's a public service subrecipient assistance, if that's one of the activities, it's there already.
What would the, if you had to tag this, so the admin at 5,000, if you were to get a consultant on the GO team to get a program in place, I assume that's going to cost money, right?
Yes, sir.
thumbnail?
By 10 grand.
So what if we moved to, because administration can be up to 20% of the grant, so what if, would you guys entertain a motion to increase planning, administration, and monitoring to $10,000 with the strong recommendation for the board to initiate a plan to get the public services money out?
we can only make advisory suggestions, recommendations. We don't necessarily do motions. Is that, or?
Oh, you can certainly make that the motion. What that will do is that I will adjust that proposed allocation to reflect what this board has recommended and present that to City Council with that adjustment.
Yeah, they hate unfunded mandates, don't they?
Would we be able then to suggest parameters for such a grant?
What?
To the consultant?
It's
governed by the CDBG program.
So the CDBG program will do that. But in addition to that, though, if the discussion comes with any, somebody will have to rank the grants if we go through a grant program. I'm likely not to be the one to rank them. I'll probably do a pass-through and make sure that it's even an eligible activity. But essentially, likely you'll have a committee or subcommittee who will rank the grants. And that's probably going to be part of what we will ask a consultant to do. What is the best practice for ranking grants? Is it being done through staff? Is it being done by the advisory board? You know, there are tricky things with federal funds about who participates in the decision-making for any activity, and that you as decision makers on this action plan have a very fine line to walk so that you do not benefit from this program. That's the one thing that if there is that a conflict of interest will have to be declared. For example, if I qualified as a low-moderate income household to receive funding, if I was to apply, which I don't even know where, if that would even be acceptable, did I apply for funds because of that inherent conflict of interest in my participation in the program.
Is there an alternative method to distribute the funds to the community other than a grant program?
We've done it in the past at the City Council, directed $25,000 to the Flagler Free Clinic directly. But they just did not get a check. We still had to go through the motion of making sure that the activity that they want to do would be eligible. That is, they're serving persons who are eligible under one of the three national objectives, that the way that they're set up meets the standards that HUD expects from a subrecipient, such as having a non-discrimination policy, having a board that controls staff, having an executive director who is responsible for the operations, and also probably the bigger thing is that if an entity receives enough federal funds, they're required to do a single audit that's to be provided to the federal government. And so all those things were part of making sure that the free clinic was eligible and would meet the standards that HUD expects, because you beyond just directing that, you can have this money, they needed to provide that they can actually accomplish and keep the records necessary should HUD decide to audit the program.
Which is basically what would happen in a grant program. So
yes, ma'am.
Without it being an officially a grant program, they've pretty much had to follow the same procedures.
Yes, ma'am.
So that if we did employ a consultant to create a policy and procedure, we would then just open the pool to additional nonprofits rather than the City Council earmarking those dollars to a specific organization.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
And there is a point of diminishing returns with grants that our consultants basically say that you would expect to spend about 20% of what you allocate to monitoring the program. And depending on how person incentive it is, that if it's a program that's going to serve 1,000 people, that's 1,000 income qualifying statements you would have to reviewed to make sure that they're actually income qualified.
But that comes with funding regardless.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Yes, sir. Right. No.
Right.
And is part of the program, whether the city council uses some discretion to say, poof, there's some money, or not. Mm-hmm. Those requirements are already there. So it's not additional bureaucracy. It's just, if this is going to be a vehicle, we need to get working on it. So that's why I'm saying, look, let's shift some money from the housing, because we only spent $130,000 in housing rehab in fiscal year 2017. So jumping that up to $400,000, that might be a challenge to get that money out. So if we could allocate more towards administration.
Did not get served that applied, yes, right. And that would qualify for that housing program. And, you know, we had our other programs out there that we were funding at that time is why we had the reduced amount on the housing program.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the bike path.
Well, I mean, it's being used. It adds to the health and wellness of the community. I mean, it fits within all those parameters.
But the additional $5,000 would come from the housing program. That's the only place that additional $5,000 could come from in order to be
from public service as well. I think that's given that that's such a smaller amount that would be counterproductive.
Right, because that's the amount that we're trying to propose that the mini grant application be available for. Right, so we don't want to reduce that amount. Jake, based upon what you've said, would you like to present a motion as to the mini grant program?
We can't craft it here. I would say that if we're going to recommend, as we have in previous meetings, that this be seriously looked into, that it might make sense for us to move to recommend accepting the annual action plan with an adjustment to increase planning and administration to account for the additional consulting work that would be necessary to properly implement a mini grant program.
Second.
So that's my motion, if it's a motion.
That sounds good. Second.
One point of clarification before I call for a vote on that. So you kind of left it open versus the 10,000 number before on the administration.
Yes. So Jose, if he could ballpark it, he said probably another $5,000.
But you want to say 10,000, though? I just want to make sure.
I would say, based on that it would make sense that we adjust the planning administration up by the thumbnail estimate to 10,000 coming from the housing program, and with the strong recommendation that we get moving on this.
Is this a recommendation or an action that, I mean, it seems like we bounced this back and forth. I haven't been here for all of them, but you bounce it back and forth so many times, and everybody has a different opinion. To get action started, then you've got to make a direction to Jose and say, okay, this committee wants this action taken, and we want it put into effect, okay, and get started on it.
We kind of did, that's water under the bridge. We did say that in 2017, and because I'm a persistent knucklehead, I guarantee you it was said at every meeting thus far. Okay, maybe with the exception of the November CAPR meeting that was so quick and so nicely presented and all that stuff. I think we did talk about it though and said, hey,
yes,
wait,
sir.
There's $30,000 unspent here. What happened?
But
we did. That's been the discussion and the intent for going on 2 years now.
But was there a motion made and action actually taken regarding?
Yeah, if you look at the notes, it was we adjusted to the 15% max with the explanation that we are doing so for that purpose, and I believe that was in the June meeting of last year. So So I did review the meeting minutes and took little notes, so I, you know, would not be out of school.
I call for
but votes. I don't think we ever went to the point to state that we wanted to develop how this was going to be presented. We said, yes, we want that money to be allotted, but we never took that extra step to say, we need the guidelines, we need all of this, or to direct that portion to come around. Okay. And so that's why we're
I'm not here to bust Jose's chops about this. I just wanted to get moving. That's all.
Yeah, well, that's why we're here.
Okay.
Because we didn't have that action plan, was not even presented to the city council.
I call for a motion.
That portion of it.
Vote on the motion, please.
Any discussion? Any other discussion regarding it? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the motion is carried. Do you is you're clear on what the motion
is? Yes,
ma'am.
Sorry,
okay.
I am so sorry. I will adjust the amount for planning admin and monitoring to 10 grand from the housing program, with a strong emphasis that this board would really like to start the mini grant program, and that's through the retention of a consultant to develop the program parameters, paperwork, all that good stuff.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
I'm not sure if everyone, I believe you probably do, but you know, anyone that would apply under the mini grant program would still have to apply as far as comply with the CDBG regulations. That it's not just any organization to be able to help them out with whatever their mission is. It would have to fit into the CDBG program. So it limits those organizations that would be eligible to apply for a mini grant.
Probably only a handful that have the staff and infrastructure to deal with it in the area, but they're there.
But right. Exactly. Definitely more than one.
Yes.
And it would also be an incentive for other nonprofits in the community, once they are aware that this funding is available and this grant process is available, if they don't have the capacity for it this year, to work towards bringing their nonprofit to a place where they do have the capacity so that they could be in compliance. Jose, so hopefully when we see this again next year, that there is actually action on it, that the policy and procedure, I would think it should be something that should be able to be available within 6 months so that this grant can be announced. And next year with the report, we're able to see where those funds were actually allocated, the recipients of the grant dollars, and how our community has benefited from it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda, public comments. Any public? There is no public.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Ralston is a
Mr.
part
Ralston.
Of this.
Everybody knows.
Ralston, you have any public comments?
I do actually.
Okay.
Over here.
Hello. Good evening, Madam Chair. I'm Ralston Riadika, Palm Coast resident. I think the task force obviously has a good plan to get public service money to nonprofits. It's definitely a need, especially for mental health, suicide prevention, and also for homeless assistance. And so I commend the task force for moving in that direction. But the thing to keep in mind is someone who's familiar with CDBG funding and the requirements to monitor agencies is, again, you hit it on the head about nonprofits having the capacity and to be fiscally sound, but also the city's responsibility to monitor. And I think Jose will go into that, lacking the actual staff and just the bodies to do it, and considering the amount of money for it, you know, 18,000 or so. It's a lot of work for a little bit of reward, so that's something to consider. And then the advocacy component, like to the Congress members to always increase and to fully fund these programs, because if they're not fully funding it, then obviously not many Palm Coast residents could benefit from such a great program. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I would just add to that that there are 19 activities with several subcategory activities, and based on what we have in terms of the ability and staff to manage this program, we've chosen these same activities for several years in a row now, and I have no real argument with that, but there are other avenues to spend the CDBG grant money that are beyond these things, but I will save that for another discussion because I've talked quite enough, but there are other ways to use this money. Mm-hmm. And don't forget, there's also that it's not just the 18,000. We're now at a backlog that almost going 70. Into that fiscal year will be pushing 70K. Okay.
Are there any other board discussion, board members? Any other comments? Okay. Seeing that there aren't any other comments, do we have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.